You naturally attract possibility, and you know how to follow possibility through into success. You aren't afraid of it. So many people are. But it's more than that, even. You're so special in so many ways. All of your achievements just seem like your natural right. I was lost before I met you, and I know so many other people were too. You make us feel safe and secure. I don't know what we would do without you. What I would do without you. You make us better. I don't know how.
Hi. No, I'm kidding. All right. In what CN Nye has called the hyper-commodified, information-saturated, performance-driven conditions of late capitalism, anxiety pervades the atmosphere. Anxiety now overflows the interior domain of its lay analytic connotations, spreading from personal and psychic moments of intimate introspection to global modes of labor and collective models of futurity. According to the Institute for Precarious Consciousness, in our current moment, anxiety has not only become the dominant affect, mood, or Heideggerian Stimmung through which the world is experienced, but anxiety has also undergone a scalar shift from the micro to the macro, from solitary to collective, from intimate to public, to the whole of the social field. This fomenting anxiety is rapidly expanding to subsume the totality of life in a world whose functionality and whose future are both becoming increasingly precarious. We are anxious because it feels as though we're trapped, that there's no exit. Steve Shaviro follows Frederick Jameson's diagnosis that today we suffer from an increasing inability to imagine a different future. We find ourselves trapped by the universal ideological conviction that no alternative is possible, that there is no alternative to the system. Another recent Jamesonian echo on the topic, Mark Fisher's claim that it's easier to imagine the end of the world than to imagine the end of capitalism, posits a speculative stalemate that is clearly anxiogenic. On this ideological track, the becoming ubiquitous of anxiety in the affective life of contemporary capitalism could be said to stem from our stunted and foreclosed collective desire to imagine otherwise, beyond and through, perhaps to reveal the potentiality for a currently occluded future otherwise from deep within our precarious present. The contemporary affective dominance of anxiety, then, could be correlated to both the increasingly common lived experience of totalizing inescapability and also its symptomatic futural myopia, creating the overwhelming burnout sublime that's hallmark to life in the age of real subsumption. For Marx, all labor, even that which exists outside the propagation of classically productive labor, is subject to the logisticality of capitalist valuation under real subsumption. And an expansion of this definition, Michael Hart and Antonio Negri understand that it's not only labor that's subsumed under capital, but also all aspects of personal and social worlding, affect, life itself. This means that things like leisure time, social life, affective ambience, and importantly for us, aesthetic judgment, once thought to be autonomous from, outside, or even antagonistic to the logics and flows of capital, have become just the opposite. Indeed, for Negri, contemporary critical and radical aesthetics and art practice must concern themselves with combating the totalizing logics of real subsumption from directly within our current speculative and affective deadlock. He writes, "The artistic paradox consists today in the wish to produce the world differently, and yet from within a world which admits of no other world other than the one that other than the one which actually exists, and which knows that the outside to be constructed can only be the other with an absolute insidedness." Resonant with Negri's call for art to inhabit and mutate the substrate of our anxiety, commercial musicians and popular sonic culture have come to experiment with various aesthetic, affective, and therapeutic methods for combating the negative effects of the accelerating pace and proliferating intensity of contemporary capitalism. For example, it comes as no surprise that the new age and ambient music industries proliferated between the late 1970s and the mid-1990s, just as deindustrialization and automation caused a rapid and effectively intense shift in the mode of production from Fordism to post-Fordism. Additionally, I find it no coincidence that there's a current resurgence in sonic naturescapes, you know, like those 90s style, like sharper image, soothing sound alarm clocks that you would get. And they're being kind of like resold on eBay right now and employed to combat anxiety and insomnia. Ironically, just as the pristine bucolic locales they feature are increasingly foreclosed and destroyed amid discussion of climate change and discourses on the Anthropocene. It seems as though sonic capitalism, or capitalism's repertoire of sonic and musical techniques for modulating, and in this case mollifying, affect in its favor, is very interested in creating, engaging, and supposedly diffusing anxiety. Politically radical sound artists share this interest. For example, Claire Tolan. She writes, I'm extremely interested in the crippling sublime that the individual experiences in the face of complex planetary systems, climate and its change, finance, etc., and the anxiety that this sublime produces. I see ASMR as providing one coping mechanism for this anxiety. I am asking if through ASMR we can reformat this anxiety, or feel less alone inside of it, or find a different, more strategic and empowered response to complex systems. ASMR can be used as one tool for the invention of the future, and then for quietly and consistently demanding it. Probably most well known for her Berlin community radio show, You're Worth It, Claire Tolan is a Berlin-based artist and activist who's been creating sound, radio, installation, media, and performance art based around the affective response and aesthetic form known as ASMR. An acronym for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, ASMR refers to a certain tingling sensation in the back of the head, neck, or spine, triggered in some by listening to soft yet sharp haptic top-end recorded sounds such as clicking, tapping, rubbing, whispering, and internal mouth sounds are a thing too. ASMR, which is not a clinical term, has been used to describe not only the involuntary precognitive nervous response, the tingles, or what Brian Misumi following Deleuze and Guattari might call affective microperceptions, but also ASMR describes the genre of performance and the surprisingly large intimate public community of listeners and artists who produce and circulate ASMR triggering content, mostly through homemade YouTube videos. The sensation is thought to be delicate, desirable, and incredibly soothing for those who can feel it, with some even comparing it to a, quote, gentle brain orgasm. For the listener, calming tingles interrupt the entrained rhythms and reactive affects that compose the discomforting soundtrack of the precariat, catalyzing moments of affective calm distinct from yet helplessly bounded by generalized anxiety. In her words, Tolan is, quote, primarily interested in how ASMR videos attempt not only to provoke this tingling sensation, but also how they serve as a kind of fringe therapy for maladies like insomnia, anxiety, and depression. The soft, soothing sounds somehow serve as a worthy vehicle for exploring different configurations of hospitality, groupthink, ritual, privacy, and intimacy, as well as complex technological, psychological, linguistic, and economic subjects. ASMR as a genre has grown to situate itself in an interesting relation to the aesthetics of capitalism and to capitalism itself. Firstly, in terms of its production and distribution, the vast majority of ASMR videos circulate freely on the internet, such that everyone has access to an affective economy and distributed community of strangers engaging in what Lauren Berlant might call non-normatively intimate acts of self-care. Aesthetically speaking, ASMR videos often fall under one of two generic categories, commodity fetishism or consumer roleplay. In the first, the ASMR artist will draw from a bag of often recently purchased objects, commodities, and record herself with close-range binaural microphones, unwrapping them, stroking them, shaking and tapping on them, modeling them and rotating them, and describing them in fawning whispered tones. For example, we've been listening to YouTube user Laura Lemerex ASMRs tapping on various new perfume bottles in the background of this segment of the presentation. The second genre of ASMR videos features the hushed and slowly paced acting out of consumer roleplay scenarios, such as a trip to the bank teller, scheduling and receiving a massage, ordering coffee from a barista, or being picked up from the airport in a taxi. My favorite one is the guy from Donkey Kong picking you up in a taxi, and he's like, hey, dude, what's up? It's great. Also, this second type of video often overflows with mantra-like repetitions spoken in whispered tones of emphatically motivational and affirmational platitudes. ASMR performs a mutation of the quotidian experience of capitalism such that what is often experienced as totalizing, overwhelming, impersonal, anxiogenic, and of vast magnitude is converted to an intimate, pleasurable, and affirmative experience in the microsonic world between two earbuds. For this reason, Claire Tolan's work on ASMR, capitalism, and public intimacy caught the ear of Holly Herndon, an experimental electronic music composer and PhD candidate in computer music at Stanford University. At the time of their meeting, Holly was busy at work on an album called Platform, in which she assembles a collaborative platform following design theorist Benedict Singleton's idea of platform dynamics theory, with various artists, designers, performers, computer programmers, and critical theorists to use sound to perform radical critiques of the lived reality of real subsumption in pursuit of an exit from the present, to pursue worlds beyond the futures we currently seem doomed to reify and reproduce. In a world where anxiety is the modus vivendi of every single stratum and scale of class structure, Herndon and Tolan's collaborate to use ASMR to not only critique the capitalist structures that cause the anxiety they seek to alleviate, but also to affirm the potential to find ways to see and feel beyond the stultifying logics of totality that drive the naturalization of the nearsighted idea that our accelerating globalized neoliberal techno-capitalism is the only possible political economic system. For their collaborative piece that we listened to at the beginning of this presentation, Lonely at the Top is what it's called, Herndon and Tolan decide to create a cheeky, critical ASMR for the 1%, as they call it. Combining Herndon's interest in the coping strategies developed to alleviate the complicity and the guilt of the extremely rich to justify their status, and Tolan's similar fascination with a genre of YouTube videos only describable as alpha male self-validation videos, Lonely at the Top, it's really a thing, I like really looked it up. Lonely at the Top features Tolan's voice whispering a script of increasingly fawning affirmations and accolades while playing the role of an executive's masseuse. Phrases such as, I don't know what we would do without you, I know how busy you are, I don't know how you do it, and from what you've told me, other people in your position wouldn't act as generously as you do, float over the closely recorded binaural sounds of dribbling water, hands running along skin, acrylic nails tapping on a tablet screen and the like, triggering the hypnotic and relaxing ASMR response from the literal substrate of real subsumption, financial disparity, the increase of anxiety and precaritization and class privilege. While not all listeners may find the track pleasurable or soothing, Lonely at the Top employs sound and affect to perform a scalar shift, a shift in magnitude on real subsumption. Through rendering our increasingly precarious and rapidly accelerating mode of production, the sprawling locus of anxiety in contemporary techno-capitalism, as an intimate propagation of deterritorialized and recoded micro-perceptions, Herndon and Tolan rehearse a mode of retooling the boundedness and no-exit mentality of capital's totalizing affects and logics that opens onto modes of intimacy, sociality, collaboration, and critique that afford us new ways of feeling and fabricating the future. For Herndon and Tolan, ASMR is a critical apparatus is useful to sonify and actualize the speculative potential of imagining an exit from our current global socioeconomic quagmire. Lonely at the Top comprises a performative shift of the totality of real subsumption from an inescapable macro to a pleasurable or at least disinterested, albeit a little creepy, micro. That being the case, could ASMR then prove to be an aesthetic mode or a technosonic methodology for rehearsing and performing strategies for enduring, surviving, and planning beyond real subsumption? When the overwhelming anxiety of totality through the microhaptics of sonic affect become a pleasurable tingle that mobilizes an intimate public toward practices of self-care and sustainability, what does that allow us to do? To plan? To design? What access to totality and its newfound sonic affective malleability do we gain through ASMR's performances of microsonic becoming intimate? This scalar shift from the accelerating, globalizing, ubiquitous macro to, again, the intimate, therapeutic, sonic affective micro also implies a performative shift. What ASMR can do then is much more than trigger a delightful shiver of escapist fantasy in some folks. It can help us invent the future by activating a connective platform of collaborative subjects re-inhabiting and retooling their constitutive anxiety to help navigate the present in hopes of planning an exit from our currently overwhelming and seemingly inescapable mode of production. In this discussion, it's important to make a clear conceptual and methodological distinction between escapism, the fantasy of escape that always already reinstantiates one's stuckness, and exit, or a vectorial, futural cultivation of the potentiality for difference within a given system in order to render the ability to plan for change thinkable and actionable. Drawing this subtlety from the work of contemporary art theorist Suhail Malik, Holly Herndon repeatedly notes in interviews the importance of this distinction for her work. Quote, fantasies of escape are where you kind of go back into yourself, this internal reflection, whereas an exit is creatively imagining new scenarios that could change your current condition. Conversely, in a discussion of Herndon's work, Malik has further clarified his concept of exit, not escape. It's a longer quote, but it's a good one. Quote, the notion of the exit is that we need to get out of the escape model. We need to get out, but we've got to really be careful, because if you try and get out in the escape model, you repeat it. What's really important in the work that Holly is doing, which carries through something of what left accelerationism is proposing, is the formation of a collective counterforce to the current overwhelming no-exit conditions of capitalist power. This is what experimental music does really effectively. When you hear a sound or sonic structure that sounds like it really comes from the future and it's happening before its time, Holly's music and activity makes a direct and strong appeal to the future to get us out of the present. And this is a very different kind of political collective action to making political claims on the basis of interests and pre-established identity. Malik highlights the similarity of Herndon's political aesthetic platform and her intimate sonics of exit to certain strains of what has been called left accelerationism, and indeed the strength of Herndon and Tolan's collaboration lies in its performance of accelerationist aesthetics. I understand accelerationism as a performative operation on the substrate of real subsumption that intensifies capital's alienating and deterritorializing tendencies, deploying them to different ends. This hijacking of the mode of production is helpful for enduring and imagining beyond the lived reality of capitalism from within to release and repurpose latent radical productive forces always already at play. Accelerationism insists on extrapolating the entire globalized, neoliberal, techno-optimized mode of production in hopes of mapping and repurposing its techniques to release us from the anxiogenic totality of affective and socioeconomic entrapment, or what Jose Munoz called the prison house of the here and now. After all, Stephen Shaviro highlights how it is under the conditions of real subsumption that acceleration first becomes a possible aesthetic strategy. Lonely at the Top takes seriously the accelerationist suggestion that the aesthetics of sonic capitalism can and should be inhabited, intensified, and then remixed, folded, or turned against themselves in order to rehearse, perform, and reveal countertactics for enduring, surviving, and ultimately exiting or imagining beyond the inescapability of real subsumption. To exit is to connect. To connect to someone or something else. To connect beyond, and connection, truly radical and actionable connection, is an intimacy often thought to be foreclosed by our current modes of production, communication, and white-knuckle, anxiety-ridden endurance. The ASMR work of Holly Herndon and Claire Tolan teaches us that through the performativity of sound and affect, it is possible to not only modulate anxiety into a tingling displacement, but also to design platforms and derive strategies to connect with people in new, interesting, and heretofore presumably foreclosed ways, ways that might help us to both endure and to exit, both to speculate and to survive. In Holly Herndon's characteristically pragmatic yet optimistic tone, quote, capitalism is sucking the life out of everything, but it doesn't have to be like that. Let's come up with alternatives. Let's come up with better ideas. Let's fucking redesign it.
Don't, because we know I'm always here for you. We know I'm always here for you. We know I'm always here for you. 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 Always here for you. Always here for you. To help you. And the kind is for you to be happy. All I want is for you to be happy. All I want is for you to be happy. All I want is for you to feel safe and secure. To feel safe and secure. To feel safe and secure. I know you're the person. I know you're the person. And you're a strong person. I believe in you. And I believe in you. I believe that you can do. You can do great things with your mind. Because you put your mind to your doubts. Because I know you have your doubts. Because I know you have your doubts. And I know you have your fears. And I know you have very strong person. You are a very strong person. You are a very strong person. much you can overcome.
Don't let them rule your life.
Don't let them rule your life.
Because
destroy your dreams
if you
let them
destroy your dreams.
If you
destroy your dreams
if you
let what they are.
Accept them
because they what they are.
Accept them
for what they are.
They don't want to
tell you
because they're there.
But I hope you're happy.
I must have
things
relaxing
time. I must
let them overcome you.
I must
let them overcome
you.
You must.